Hey, welcome back here to wrap up KER Politics. Jimmy and I continue our discussion with Barbara Sturdivant. Barbara is one of the local candidates here of a conservative bent. We are we are very effectively, with Barbara's opinions, illustrating the exact difference between conservative candidates today and progressive candidates. Jimmy, why don't you start us out?
Well, I think in the last segment we were just talking about what I wanted to bring up was the concerns we have with people not being able to ask questions without being accused of racism or, you know, genderism or some ridiculous argument, and silencing voices. And of course, we have so many issues right now with our community and our children, with schools, with drugs. And we were talking about the drugs in the previous segment. And, you know, one of the big concerns I have here is in our community, and in, as I'm involved in nonprofits that actually try to inspire and help kids go in the right direction, the health department is focused on JUULs, but it's not looking at the facts on what has happened with actually pot marijuana since legalization in Washington state. They're silencing people. There's a very big, powerful lobby that and the tax revenues that come in, and of course the lobby that pushes it here in Washington state, and it's causing a lot of problems with our children. And what bothers me more than anything else is silencing those questions, you know, silencing the problem. You can't identify a problem if you don't look at it, and you certainly can't fix it if you don't understand it. And so I actually wanted to get Barbara's opinion because she has some experience. I mean, and I love her for explaining it a little bit more, but her experience in the pharmaceutical industry, and of course, you know, we're locking down children. We've got Jay Inslee that's not allowing legislators into the state house. I mean, this is becoming draconian and authoritarian. And then people can't ask questions on what's going on. And you have some experience in pharmaceuticals, and you have extensive experience as a nurse. And we can't ask questions about what's going on with the vaccines, with what's happening out there. And I think that's a bigger, broader issue that we ought to talk about.
Sure. I did mention that I did have, like you said, an extensive nursing career. I did work in pediatrics and neonatal intensive care units for quite a bit. I did a lot of clinical nursing over 25 years, renal failure, dialysis, a lot of different areas that I have experience in. And I wrapped up my career by going to work for a biotech company in California, Amgen, which is one of the largest in the world, and actually helped develop several therapeutics that, as a cancer survivor, I was able to benefit and take some of those drugs. I think I might have mentioned that earlier. So I do have quite an extensive background and in clinical trials especially, and I understand the requirements by the FDA and the government agencies on how you conduct clinical trials. And in reference to what you were saying about where you can't really even have a conversation about it, I have at several times tried to engage from my experience what I'm uncomfortable with in the trials that have led to the, not approvals, but mandates for these, the vaccines especially, and even the masking mandates, that the science behind it is troubling to me because it's not how we conducted clinical trials professionally and all over the world. They were conducted very similarly. So whenever I've had been able to try to express or explain whether somebody's vaccinated or not, really just to listen to the scientific background on this and my scientific background on this, I'm attacked. I mean, it's usually immediate. Nobody's interested in what I have to say. And I find it very ironic because I wouldn't tell a plumber how to put in a toilet, and I wouldn't tell a real estate agent how to sell real estate. But I am shamed from speaking out or even answering questions, regardless of people's viewpoints on the different issues and the mandates. I'm just, you know, told to basically that nobody cares about what my background is and what I have to try to say. And it's frustrating because I do have that extensive background, and I do know what I'm talking about. It's simply the science of it. And then people are able to make their own choices. Except we're really not able to make our own choices is what
we're being forced.
Frustrated about. Yeah.
You know, you guys, what and I find to be really interesting right now is the fact that the progressives have very, very effectively, at least within their own party, painted themselves as the people who care. They have painted Republicans as people who really don't care about anything but themselves. They certainly put Donald Trump into that category, and I firmly believe that isn't true. Why would you say, Barb, that the progressives are really not necessarily the party of caring?
I'm sure there are people that claim to be progressives that are caring. I think what we're all seeing and witnessing is their agenda is so strong, and it's so tabulated, and so you can go back, and I was a history major, by the way, too, so, you know, you can go back to the Marxist era, and the whole philosophy, the whole agenda is what we're living out now. And it's not just recently they started coming out with some of these ideas. This has been planned a long time ago, and they're just following the marching orders. And in the public school system, they've been educated this way as well. So we're fighting decades of this imprinting, and I don't know if it's that they're not caring. I just think they solely focus on the agenda, and that's the most important thing to them. And whether we lose our country and whether we lose our patriotism, it's irrelevant, I think. It's what they have been told to pursue for the common good, you know, whatever their agenda is, and the agenda is the only thing that matters, and they're going to follow that agenda regardless of how it damages other people's freedoms.
Well, and they've created this sense of fear, and they're dividing us into our entire society into categories. You know, what color are you? What race are you? What do you believe? Are you rightist? Are you Trumpster? Are you, you know, and then you throw COVID and you throw the fear of death. And of course, for people that don't have faith that there's something beyond that, this is it. So they're scared to death, and they're making decisions that are basically completely blocking out any critical thinking. And that really bothers me, that there's no critical thinking, there's no discussion, there's no actual ability to debate publicly the issues that we have to face. And I think I'm really proud of you and people like you that are stepping up, that are courageous enough to speak out, that have step up and try to take back local government, local school boards, to ensure that we, you know, protect this nation and protect the interests of everyone.
You know, I think I'm talking to two people who could be of extreme value party here in our particular county. Barb, I hope you don't stop necessarily at the council level. And Jimmy, you were named the Republican of the Year last year. Don't rest on your loyals. Keep going ahead, because we need more people like you guys. Jimmy, take it home.
Yeah, so again, I really want to thank Barb and the people like Barb, you know, in our local area that have stepped up to actually try and make a difference. And what I see around the nation, I'm beginning to see a lot of parents, a lot of people that were never involved before getting more involved, because they're afraid of what's happening. Because the vast majority of people still believe that America, and understand how important America is, that it's the best place on this planet and was the best place for humankind. And we need to continue to perpetuate that. We can't undermine it, and we can't divide ourselves and split us. This is someone else's agenda. And those people have a very different interest than protecting the average man and woman and the children around our neighborhoods. And unfortunately, unions and large corporations and a lot of people are trying to take their absolute advantage of all this crisis in order to make a profit, to shut down small business, in order to control markets, in order to control people. And we're seeing politicians do it. And I'm very disturbed with it, but I really, really hope, and I'm really positive, that there are Americans that will step up, and we're going to see a change, hopefully starting this November in a week or two. And then we go into next year. So.
Well, I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see it, Jimmy, on November 2nd. And Barb, I want to say best of luck in the upcoming election. Jim and I both truly appreciate you coming on the show. And why don't you give the final comment? We got about 25 seconds. Whatever you want to say.
Well, again, I've never been in politics before. I wouldn't consider myself any type of politician. I think that's a compliment to myself. But I am doing this, as I mentioned in the beginning, for 14 grandkids that I want them to know that I did something, that I didn't just accept what we were being given, that I wanted to help fight us out of what's going on and stand for our country and stand for the patriotism and the life we have. And we don't want to lose that life.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.